We are going to enter into a time of testimony right now. This is the time to talk about what God has done in your life. That could be a recent thing that God did that you're praising Him for. It could be something that happened some time back that was brought back to you today that you just want to share by way of encouragement. To kick us off, I'm going to invite Carol Lee to come. Carol Lee actually had this testimony last Sunday, and because we were all jammed up with the AGM, we scheduled for this week. So, Carol Lee, why don't you come and share?
Good morning, everybody. Last week, Chris brought up praying for healing, and people got prayer for healing. But this testimony is to say, don't get discouraged if you didn't get your healing right away. My youngest daughter moved here when she was starting grade 11, and she was into sports and busy all the time. But she made a friend, and you know, when you go later in high school, everybody's already got their friends, but she made a good friend. And they're not in touch all the time, but this year, that girl got in touch with her and said she was going through a tough time. And then she sort of gave us her five-year history. 5 years ago, she got married. Then she had a baby. Then she got thyroid cancer. Then they gave her radiation and told her she couldn't get pregnant. Then she got pregnant with twins. At 10 weeks, she lost one twin, but she carried one to term. And then she had to have a complete hysterectomy, but they said, oh, well, all the edges were clear, so we don't have to do any radiation or chemo. And she started having severe pain. It started in her back, and it moved around to her front, and then she couldn't even pee. And she knew it, stuff was wrong, and she kept talking to the doctors, and finally she convinced them 3 months later to do, I think it was an MRI and a PET scan, and they discovered that the cancer was in her bladder, that's why she couldn't pee, and it was in her bowel, and it was in her pelvis. And so she's not a Christian, and she asked us to pray. And then I met her when she was seeing her surgeon here a few months ago, and she sort of mentioned that her husband was having a really rough time because he'd lost his dad to cancer, and as soon as she had cancer the first time, his family sort of pulled back, and then when she got it this time, it literally paralyzed him. He just couldn't help her. He couldn't do anything. And so I got the Wednesday night people praying for her and friends around the world praying for her. And it wasn't seeming to make a difference. She kept saying to me, I'm okay. I'm dealing with this. Just pray for my husband. And so I finally, after several weeks, said, God, what's wrong? He needs a breakthrough. What can we do? How can we pray to have a breakthrough? And God told me to fast. Now, I've had COVID twice, and I'm losing hair from the last round of COVID. So when I fast, I tend to lose my hair. And I don't want to look like St. Francis with a big round circle on top. I mean, I'm a little vain. And so I sort of thought, fast. But it really settled in. So for 10 days, I didn't eat breakfast, I didn't eat lunch, I only ate supper in the evening. And then I got a message from this girl that her husband had started taking anti-anxiety medication. And before that, she tried to get him to counseling, she tried to get him to the doctor, and he wouldn't have anything to do with it. And then a couple of days later, she said, you know, he's really trying. Well, yesterday, they went to a pumpkin patch to get pumpkins to carve with the kids. And that's so far from where he was. So if you don't get your answer right away, the way you're praying, maybe ask God, how do I get my breakthrough? What do I need to do? Because it might not be fasting. It might be something else. It might be praying for inner healing. It, you know, there's many things that we have to do sometimes to get a breakthrough. But I just thank God that he gave this couple that doesn't know him, you know, this breakthrough. And I'm believing for salvation for both of them. If you want to know their names, I'll tell you after.
Thanks, Carolee. The balance of what would normally be our Bible teaching time, preaching time, is actually dedicated to testimony this morning. So if you have a story of God's faithfulness, some way that he's been working in your life that you think would be an encouragement to others, that you want to praise him for, this would be your time to come and, Enoch, come on. This is Enoch Ponzo, by the way, one of our new board members.
Yes. Hey, guys. Good morning. I normally don't do testimonies often, except for when Pastor Barry asked me to preach. Then I do my testimonies then for the year. But I felt that, you know, the past few testimony Sundays, I should have shared something, and I haven't. So I figured today it's a good opportunity. I just got back from Houston on Friday night, where I had an opportunity to spend time with my mom. So if a few of you met my mom a few weeks ago when she came to visit with my dad. Back in April of this year, my mom had a stroke. So we just went through a lot. My grandmother passed away this past January, and then we lost a cousin. Then my mom had a stroke, and her sister had a bunch of health issues, and another sister had health issues. So it was a lot happening. And my parents are missionaries in the Congo, in Africa. So healthcare there is a bit different than what we're used to here. So when my mom had a stroke, they just kind of stayed home, like went to the doctors and they didn't do anything, didn't give her any aspirin, nothing. So she was just there at home. And I remember God made it work out where my brother just happened to be going there at the same exact time that she had the stroke. So the plan was for my brother to go visit, and then my mom was gonna fly back with them, well, like a week after, for a cousin's wedding. So we were planning this out, we're gonna meet up, and then my mom just happened to have a stroke, and my brother went a few days later. While he was there, we were kind of talking, and he was giving me updates about what was going on. I have a group of friends of mine back in Philly that were praying for my mom, and a life group people here as well were praying for my mom. And one of my friends in Philly just happened to be a surgeon. And so he asked me, can you give me the update? How's your mom doing? And I kind of gave him a bit of an update. He said, that doesn't sound right. Can you just get more details? So I called my brother and we got on a three-way call, and he started asking some more questions. And then he was like, yeah, they should have done this, 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 and that. He's like, you got to get your mom out of there ASAP. So we had switched a flight. We got her to the U.S., and she was in really bad shape. She had lost lots of weight. She just looked like she wasn't going to recover because the doctor said, yeah, had we got her to the U.S. like early enough, she would have been fine because she's young and this was a random stroke. She'll be okay. But because time lapsed, we don't know how she's going to recover. So it was really crazy. My parents are both young, and I never seen them at that, you know. And reality kind of set in, and it's like, well, like, are we going to lose her? And then she came to the States, and people from this church were praying, and people all over the world were praying for her. And then when she came to visit Vancouver, she was able to actually walk. So when she first came, she couldn't. When she came, I saw my mom in April. She couldn't walk. She couldn't move her hands, and she couldn't really talk. And she was really frustrated because she's used to being super active. So that made her really angry. She would have fits of anger because of it. But when she came to Vancouver, she was able to walk. And within they spent like 10 days here. And just being in Vancouver, she said, like, helped her to kind of speed up the recovery period. And she spent time with, and she was like moving, really working really hard to move her left arm. And this time around, just going to Houston and spending time with her, she flew to Houston by herself. She didn't need a wheelchair to get there. She was actually babysitting Gabriel for me while I got to work. And it was just amazing. Like, she's able to move her hand. She was cooking for us, she was kind of getting back, and it was such a faster recovery than we thought. So I just want to give thanks to God. It's she's not there yet. You know, it's not like she's back to 100%, but I just want to give God praise for allowing her to get to where she is in such a short time. So.
That's a great story. Thank you, Enoch. And Lord, please finish what you've started in Enoch's mom's life. Heal her body in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. Don't worry, no announcements. I didn't check this with Carolee, but knowing her, I feel like this she'd be all right with this. Just as she was sharing and talking about prayer, I was like, we should pray. And then Kai heard me and agreed. So we'll just pray for your friend. And you can just join me here. Just praying for her, just lifting your hands and just Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just come before you as one body. And we just pray for breakthrough just for Carolee's friend, for the family there, for the mom and the dad and the kids, Lord God. We pray for a physical breakthrough, Lord God, but we also just pray for a spiritual breakthrough, Lord God, just that you are the God not only of our bodies, but of our mind and our heart and of our soul. And I just pray, Lord God, just for that family and that all those who wait upon the Lord would renew their strength, that they would soar like eagles, Lord God. So I just pray for that healing there. And I also, too, just pray for those who are waiting for breakthrough, whether it's a healing, maybe it's something you heard years before, that just as I was reading this morning, and God's reminding me now, one devotional, the word was wait. The other devotional, the word was wait. And then I felt like the Lord was going to say wait again, and here I am. So just, I just pray, Lord God, that we would continue just to seek you and seek after you in your heart, Lord God, that you are the God of healing and of breakthrough. But you're also the God, too, who is there with us in our sorrow, in our grief. Wherever you are there with us. Just help us just to know, Lord God, that you will never leave us or forsake us, like your word says in the Old Testament and the New Testament, today and forevermore. Amen. Blessings. Thank you.
Thanks, Carl.
Hey, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Shell. I grew up in this church. I've been away for a few years in Thunder Bay. I just got back at the beginning of this year. Thunder Bay was not an easy time. I'm not going to go into all of it because that would be a whole afternoon in and of itself, but being there was rough, and it felt very much like when the Israelites were in exile. There was this, you know, that whole story of the Israelites being in exile, it was a very difficult time for them, but God always promised them that there was something else on the other side. It wasn't going to be where they were forever. And that was a promise that I tried to cling to for the whole time that I was there. And just before I decided to come back, some really heavy stuff happened all at the same time, like just one after the other, bam, 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 bam. And I hit this point of, I don't know how I can go on, God. It doesn't, this seems an impossibility to get through. And I was reading, or kind of just before I'd hit a point where sometimes you get a little bit too on your own high horse and you think, okay, well, maybe I don't need God, or you kind of forget about him. It doesn't factor into your life very much. And that was kind of one thing that was happening until, you know, I was at this point of, total rock bottom. And I went, I need to start pursuing God again. I need to learn who he is. And so I started, I don't know why exactly, but the Israelites' journey, the Old Testament, has always been of great interest to me. So I started reading through the Israelites' journey again. And I started getting these feelings of being inside of a storm, basically. And, you know, storms are frightening, but they feature quite prominently, in a sense, in the Old Testament. You know, think about what the Israelites were led by when they were going through the desert. You know, pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. You know, whether that's literal or figurative, who cares? But it sounds often an awful lot like a storm to me, right? And that would be quite frightening, I can imagine. You know, you're walking through a desert and there's a giant frickin' pillar of fire leading you, right? And storm clouds during the day. Or think about when Moses went up the mountain and all the Israelites were terrified because he was in the midst of this crazy storm and they all thought, well, Moses is dead. What are we going to do now? Mm-hmm. But the thing that resonated with me with all of that is, and the other thing is, the name Yahweh is often associated in history to the outside nations as a God who is of storms and battle. So a storm is quite integral to God's character. And I don't think that's a coincidence. But when you're in the middle of a storm, it can be really scary. Witnessing a storm is terrifying. But the key point that I felt God was imparting on me was, in the midst of all these storms, he's there. You might not be able to see it initially because, you know, when you're in the middle of a storm, again, like I said, it's quite terrifying. It's quite all-encompassing. But God is in the middle of those storms. And he kept reminding me that you might be in a storm, but you need to remember that I'm in the storm, right? And then within that as well, he reminded me of who he is. And again, when God told Moses his name, it was, I am that I am, or I am who I am. I don't remember the exact vernacular, but God's name, it's a weird way to say, but God's name is who he is. And so then the other thing I started hunting was, okay, well, what are all the names of God? What are all the L names of God that they use in the Bible? Because it comes up quite frequently. And, you know, I was reminded God is a shepherd. God is a protector. God is a shield. He's a fortress. All these different names of who God was, he kept reminding me about them over and over again. And the thing that I got from that as well is God is unchanging. You know, he is who he is. That's his name because he can't be anything else than who he is. And in the midst of our storms, which are a state of constant change, it's a healthy thing to remind ourselves that God can't be anything else than who he is. He is a constant all the time, no matter what. Our situations might change, who we are might change, our perceptions might change, but no matter what's going on in life, God is who he is. And that's a consistency that we can cling to no matter what storms we're in, no matter what situations we're in.
Thanks, Shel. Good to have you back on this side of the country, by the way.